Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When you're the captain of a boat, you need always to have a good understanding of your surroundings and where you are. This is more difficult when you get into fog. And when I was running, captaining a boat, schooner up in Maine, when I was in fog, I had two sets of eyes to consider. I had my own eyes right here, and then I had the eyes of the radar right before me. And the question is, in those times, which one do you trust? Remember coming into Camden Harbor one time in a dense and thick fog, and you don't have a whole lot of margin for error there. You have a rock ledge on your right-hand side on your way in. You have a rock island on your left. Not much margin for error. You have two sets of eyes. You have your physical eyes. They were telling me one thing. I should go this way. I had my radar set of eyes. They were telling me another thing. They were saying, go this way. Each of them was presenting to me a different reality. And I had to choose, which one am I going to trust? Well, which one does a captain, a sailor trust? Or a pilot? He trusts the eyes of the radar rather than his own physical eyes. I actually distrusted these, and I trusted that one. And what was the result? Led me into the harbor straight and sure, safe and sound. Especially important when you have 20-some passengers counting on you to get you in safely. So what I need when I'm in the fog is a reality check. I need to know which one's telling me the truth, which one is reality, my real circumstances. And in life, also, we need a reality check. We need to know we have our eyes of flesh, which tell us one thing when we're looking at the world. We have the eyes of our heart, the eyes of faith, based on the Word of God. That's telling us of a different reality. Which one do you trust? Which one do you go by? Which one's giving you the reality of your situation? Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 5, he says, we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Even Paul acknowledges there are two different kinds of ways of seeing. There's the eyes of faith, and then there's physical sight. But which one do we walk by as Christians? We trust the radar. We trust God's word, our eyes looking through here, the reality that this is showing us. And that, I'll tell you, leads you straight and sure to our heavenly home and in the ways of life. So today I'd like to talk with you about this idea of sight, about God giving us sight. What would he teach us about that? Well, the first thing is we know in the Old Testament that it was prophesied of Christ, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. Jesus came to restore and give us, actually, physical sight is one of the things. Let's take a look at John chapter 9. He'll do this very thing. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, whom sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Verse 6, and as he said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, Siloam means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Never since the world begun has it ever been heard that a man opened the eyes of a man born blind. Jesus has the power to do this, to open the eyes of a blind man who never saw so that he can see. But we also see that Jesus not only opens physical eyes, but more importantly, the real reason he came to earth was to open our inward blindness, to give us true sight. For you can see with your physical eyes, right, and not yet see the truth. But let's see what happened with this man. It says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. The Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man's not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs? There's a division among them, so they again said to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. And later on, when they continue to press him, he speaks to them very clearly of Christ, that he's from God, and what do? They revile him. They cast him out. They kick him out of the community. The blind man is thrown out for his confession. And then it says, Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he that speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Does this man see? He sees physically. Does he see spiritually? He sees spiritually too. Why? Because he sees Jesus is the Christ. He says, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. And therefore, he does now see. And this is what Jesus came to give you, inward spiritual sight, so that you see him who is your Savior, the Christ. And Jesus then says, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. For the Pharisees claimed to see, but denying Christ, they were blinded by their sin. So, Jesus heals physical sight, but he also is here to heal, most especially, his real purpose is spiritual sight, so that you see the truth, because the truth sets you free. And by the eyes of the heart, we see the truth. If we're inwardly blind, we are truly lost in the fog. Do you see him? Do you believe in him? And are the inner eyes of your hearts open or closed? The Bible says that there are invisible things that your eyes can't see. If you'll open, or just raise your hand right now, who can see air in here? Is air real? Yes, it's everywhere, but not one of us can see it with his naked eye. Now, this is still a physical reality. Nevertheless, thank goodness it's real. Otherwise, you'd be dead. You couldn't believe. You couldn't breathe. Freudian slip there. But the Bible, the true radar, the Word of God, teaches us that there are all kinds of invisible things that we can't see, obviously, because they're invisible, but which are nevertheless the reality of the situation that's all around us. Can you see these things? God declares that there are angels around us, and there are demons, malevolent ones in the world. There's the benevolent angels and the malevolent demons. Do you see that God created the world? That it is an ordered universe, moral and purposeful. That Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says he is the image of the invisible God. This is where God came to be seen. And he conquered for us an invisible adversary, Satan. And by the gospel, believing on him, we see Christ. And it's written, Jesus says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Is this your reality? Yes, indeed, this is reality, what I'm talking about right here. Everyone who sees the Son by faith, Jesus Christ, and believes in him has eternal life, and God will raise him up at the last day. What are you going to trust, your eyesight, your physical, or are you going to trust your radar, which is telling you the truth? This is the truth, a gospel of salvation. And that Christ has ransomed us in history, in a real event, by his real shed blood for the salvation of all of mankind, he being the perfect Son of God. Can you see these things? Are they on the radar scope of you, or are you blind? I hear it all the time in the world. And I saw this just on TV, on a TV show the other day. I believe in only what I can see and touch and taste and feel. You heard that? And the people who say these things, they say it seems, with an air of pride, like they are the pragmatists in the world. I believe in only reality, they say. Only what I can truly, what I can see, not in things I can't see. But why are people blind? This such a person is blind. It's sin which blinds them. God declares in the Bible, Psalm 115, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths but don't speak. They have eyes but don't see. They have ears but don't hear. Noses but do not smell. If you worship and bow down to a piece of wood somewhere, can that wood see? Can it hear? Can it smell? Can it walk? And God declares in the same psalm, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. If you have some other God, some idol, other than the one true God who created the heavens and the earth, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are bowing down and worshiping something that has no eyes, that can't see, it can't smell, it can't walk, and is dead. And those who worship such things become like them. They can't see spiritually, they can't hear spiritually, they can't walk spiritually in the truth. They are like those things that they worship. And that's why the world laughs at the reality that I'm preaching to you today, because they have another God and they can't see because of their sin. We also learn, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil in Genesis 3 is called a what? Serpent, right? And just like, remember, danger, crocodile hunter, right? He goes after stupidly, after a king cobra in Africa, and that thing's going spitting at him to blind him. And, of course, he's even getting hit by some, and it's stinging him, and he's starting to go a little blind until he washes his eyes. But this is what the greater serpent does. An invisible adversary of the world spits into people's eyes so that they can't see the truth. And he himself is deceived, for he thinks opposing God will bring him good. But God says, hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but don't see, who have ears but don't hear. Don't you fear me, declares the Lord. Don't you tremble before me. I place the sand as a boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But what do people say to God? God doesn't see. The Lord doesn't see. The God of Jacob doesn't perceive. And God answers, he who planted the ear, doesn't he hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? I want to ask you today, is this the way you see faith? A lot of times we look at faith the wrong way. It says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to challenge you and ask you to introspect yourself right now. Is faith something hard to do? Is it like I just got to wish and pray and believe in these things, sort of like a Disney's portrayal of faith? What does Disney portray? When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. You're believing in fairies, you're believing in make-believe, you're believing in magic, you're believing in wishing upon a star. It's something that you're trying to believe hard, to believe in something that's really not real. Whereas what I'm telling you today is faith is really not difficult, although it is because of our sinful nature, but faith is simply this: seeing things clearly the way they really, truly are. That's what faith is. When I look at the fog of Camden Harbor, my eyes think it sees one thing, but the radar is telling me the reality of the situation. And I can believe that because it's simply telling me the way things are. And is this the way you see faith? Is Jesus Christ in this room this morning, in the sanctuary? Do you see him? Do you accept and see the reality that Jesus is amongst his people? Right here. Now. He says, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Well, he's in this room. I can't pick one exact spot. He's here everywhere with us, but he is here right at this instant. And even he's even speaking to you through me. Let's talk then about this reality check. How this helps you in your life. The help of good eyesight. Check this out. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Let's apply this to what we're talking about. What were they trusting? Which eye? The physical eye was telling them, I see waves beating into this boat. I see black threatening clouds. I see water beginning to swamp us. We're going down. They thought they were at the mercy of the weather. Jesus says, you're not seeing rightly. Are you blind? Don't you see you're at the mercy not of the weather, but of God? Don't you see Christ asleep here in the back cushion of your own boat? They were believing a delusion rather than reality. And you need to understand, in life, when you are trusting your physical eyes, you might get your physical surroundings right, but you're not understanding the reality of your situation. How about this one? 2 Kings 6, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were all about the city. And the servant said, Alas, master, what shall we do? And he said, Elisha said, Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Do you think maybe in your life situation it's like this? Oh, Lord, alas, I'm surrounded by enemy armies and adversaries on every side. God, open his eyes or her eyes that he may see and she may see. When you look through this, you realize, oh, whoa, there are angels all about me to guard me in all my ways, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Faith is not grasping at when you wish upon a star. It's simply having your eyes open to see, this is the reality of the situation. God is on my side. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He has his angel chariots and horses and chariots of fire all about me. How about this? Mark 5. When Jesus had entered, he said, Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. Physical eyes. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, and she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Jesus saw the reality of the situation. And Jesus tells us, when the disciples said, Why couldn't we cast out the demon? He said, Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. How good is your eyesight today, do you think? Are your eyes open? Do you believe in Jesus as the Christ? Then you can see. If you believe in Jesus as the Christ, you can see. But how perfect is your eyesight? Well, how about physically? Some of you are wearing glasses out there. I'm having trouble seeing if some of you are wearing glasses because my eyes are a little fuzzy this morning. But our eyesight is in various stages of clarity based upon how much our realities conform to the Word of God. This is teaching us reality. This is teaching us the truth. So how do you see better if your eyes are a little cloudy? Can you go to God and get LASIK vision, LASIK surgery, and have them zapped so that all of a sudden you can see 20/15 and better? Actually, you can. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he'd spit on his eyes, and laid his hands upon him, he asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he said, "I see men, but they are like trees walking." Could the man see? Could he see clearly? No. So Jesus went, so it says, and he looked up and said, okay. Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and saw everything clearly. Are there various degrees of seeing? Yeah. What was the difference between seeing and seeing clearly? The touch of Jesus. When we live our lives with Christ, Jesus is continually touching us, sharpening our vision. When we're in the Word, studying the Word every day, accepting the truth of God's reality, which is really reality, our eyes are getting sharper and clearer all the time. Is it a blessing to have good eyesight? Oh, it's a great blessing. The sharper you see, the better it is. May God strengthen us in those today. Never put a question mark where God has put a period. Period. The Lord sets the prisoners free, it declares. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. And where do we look? Jesus says, everyone who's learned, heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone's seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Who's the only one who has had perfect eyesight on earth? Jesus. He had perfect eyesight all the time. Hence, he can walk on the sea. He can command the clouds. Of course, because he is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, given the power to do so. But he had perfect, clear vision. And Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is clear eyesight indeed. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. So in conclusion then, Paul says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand, know fully, even as I have been fully known. On a ship, the eyes of your radar are better than the eyes of the flesh, and in life, the eyes of faith are better than the eyes of the flesh. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye may blind by sin, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none besides thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. To him who opens the eyes of the blind, amen.